Vocalo Radio, Chicago's only urban alternative, 91.1 FM. Nudia in the afternoon here with you. Happy Tuesday. We have a special guest, that song you heard, Textures, by Julian Davis Reed, who we have in studio with us. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Oh, real quick, hold on. Sorry, I'm telling you, I'm getting back to work today, so the issues are issuing. Okay,
I hear it.
I know how to work this. Okay, I see you looking at me. I'm getting it back. I know how to work the board. Julian Davis Reed.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Nudia, what's up?
You know, you put out you have this your most recent project, that song Textures from it. Can you tell us a little bit about the song? Like, how did you make it?
For sure. So that song, Textures, is from our new project, Vocation, that's out on all streaming platforms. And that song, Textures, is about my role as a husband. That song was written for my wife, Carmen, years ago. And so it's all about textures of love. And so I wrote that a long time ago and played it for her and then played it at a wedding and then played it elsewhere around. And it started to make its way into the repertoire for this project that would become Vocation, which is all about the different roles that we're called to play in our lives. And my role as an artist is this deep calling that God's given. And my hope is that as I play from this calling, it helps you think about the respective callings you have, textures of love that you have, be it for a romantic partner, be it for someone you just love, a city, Chicago, the textures of loving my city, Lord knows. So Textures is that song, and it's part of this project Vocation that I'm so happy to share and tour.
You know, I do have to say, when I was reading your bio, I was a little bit nervous, because there's sometimes, I mean, you have so many accomplishments. Like, your accomplishments are so vast. Sometimes people like that, you know, the normal conversations aren't that normal, you know? It can be just a little...
Oh, no.
Yeah, you know? But I have to say, like, you definitely have a very like chill aura, chill demeanor, very calm energy, but you've done so much. And I was reading your bio and I did really enjoy reading the part where you and your wife, you know, moved to Atlanta for graduate school after you went to Yale, you know. By the way, if I went to Yale, I would be so annoying. I guess that's what I meant to say. You're definitely not annoying in the way I would be. I'd be like, well, the way we did it at Yale, you guys, this is we played beer pong different in Yale, no. Okay?
I always do that as tongue-in-cheek when I do that.
But I really enjoyed reading that part of your bio, because I feel like as an artist, as a musician, I feel like there aren't a lot of examples of young love, you know? I feel like there's a lot of like, I have to put the music first.
That's right.
I have to put the career first. So it was really, I did smile when I read that part where, you know, you guys were college sweethearts, Carmen, your wife.
Yeah.
And then you moved for graduate school. Do you think that helped your career?
Absolutely.
Finding that stability of marriage?
Oh, absolutely. To the max. To the max. Oh, man, you couldn't even get that question out before I would jump on that, because Carmen has done so much to help me find my artist voice. I remember there are these long years, long stretches, and I was really racking my brain wondering, how am I supposed to hold together? You know, I've been a pastor. I have obviously played music throughout my life. I'm an academic. You know, I'm a writer, a researcher. How do I hold all these together? And which one leads out? And I remember Carmen saying, well, what if the responsible thing is to follow your art? Mm-hmm. What if that's the responsible thing? And she's training to be a doctor at the time. So, I mean, you could imagine she could have been of a different sort, saying, well, the responsible thing is to put this silly art thing off to the side. And that's so often what we artists are told, is that what we do is silly, marginal, go get a real job. But that's not my wife. And so I'm so thankful for who she's been and continues to be. We just celebrated 10 years. And that's...
Now, you know what? Hold on. Let me... I remembered how to work my board, okay? There are the claps. Yes.
Thank you. Yeah. We just celebrated 10 years last year. And all of that has helped bring tremendous stability. And frankly, the record vocation flows from these kinds of deep familial relationships. My marriage, I'm a father now too of a two-year-old, Lydia. I'm a son, I'm a brother, I'm a friend, I'm a Black man, you know, I'm a Christian. All these different roles that I've aged in beautiful ways in my life flow through the music. And they're really at the heart of why I write what I write. And also they help me connect with you and the audience. When I'm playing for you or my record's playing for you, I'm playing for you from the depths of my relationships because I know you got those too in your life.
Mm-hmm. What advice would you give to young male artists who are coming up in the industry right now, specifically about about dating and finding partners?
Yes. The internal work that you do on yourself to write the songs that you do can and should translate over to the inner work that you do on yourself when it comes to dating. I found it interesting. I've been thinking about this recently that, you know, in that movie, Happy Feet, you didn't see that coming, did you? Yeah, there you go.
I was watching you play piano. I thought about a lot of movies, but Happy Feet was not one of them. Happy Feet.
But yo, the love doctor in that one, and the love doctor in music is just this trope of a man, you know, let me tell you how it is, baby. Look how sexy I am and beautiful or whatever. And he never seems happy. He never seems committed. He never seems grounded. He always seems into himself. And I see this often a lot in music. And I just wonder the extent to which people write songs about experiences they don't have. And so I just wonder if we're able to do inner work about a kind of creative life that we wish to have, can that thereby translate into a life of love that we wish to have too? That vulnerability that you have on stage can open on to vulnerability that you have dating someone.
You grew up in the Southwest side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. Whitney Young alum, Merritt School of Music alum. I always like to ask artists this. Was there a moment that you realized, like, I am great? Not only do I have a love for this, but I think I'm great, and I think I have that extra thing that might be what it takes to make a career in this.
So the reason I know about Vocaloid is because of the Juju Exchange, which is this incredible project that has changed my life. Nico Segal and Nova's Eye here in Chicago. And it really was because of being involved in this project that Nico started almost a decade ago at this point. It was by virtue of being in that project that I was able to learn. I have been able to learn that I have a voice, that I have this artistic voice that I could help really have, not just being a musician. Because there's a difference between being a musician who's good, who's competent, who can learn the songs and show up on time and have their shirt tucked in. That's one level, and that's great. And people stay there and they do that their whole careers, and that's cool. It's different than actually saying, I have something original I want to share, and I'm going to go for it. And I'm so thankful for cats like Nico who have helped me see that and encouraged that in me. And also cats like Isaiah Collier, who I've played with. I've been in his band. I was in his band for a couple of years, and he also has a drive. And cats like them, as well as people around who were encouraging me to write my own music, that was always helpful. I remember I was at this Isaiah Collier show in San Francisco, and afterwards somebody came up to me and asked, and this cat's name is Julian. No, I'm kidding you. That's not a joke. Sorry. No, I'm not kidding you. This brother's name who was talking to me was named Julian, and he came up to me and said, where's your album? And I was like, what the heck? I'm there for an Isaiah gig, you know, trying to play my heart out on his music. And this brother's coming up and asking me about where's your record too. So you get that from people who are leading on the bandstand saying, go, push, you are an artist. But then you also get people in the crowd. And I think both of those inputs, as well as prayer and discernment, helped me realize I have something that I want to share, especially because what I'm saying isn't just with the keys, it's also with my words. And holding those together in my artistry allows for a unique offering.
I really love first of all, I really love that someone in the crowd told you that, because it sometimes it really takes a random person to say like, okay, this is nice, but what about you? You know, and you're like, oh, I have to do stuff myself. I have to focus on myself and push myself, you know?
That was deep. Yeah.
I really love the way also you speak about the Juju Exchange. Like, I love how you talk about, you know, your blood brother and then your musical brother. I really enjoyed reading that, because I mean, not only, you know, we've had Nico on, of course, but Juju Exchange is Vocalo family. We have What's so up? Much of your music in here.
Much love.
But you could just tell when there's an authentic relationship in the band, and it you guys do seem like family when you guys are performing together.
Yo, thank you. Yeah, it's been an incredible connection to bring from offstage on stage, you know, and we were started playing music, all of us back together 20 years ago. And so that's deeper than chords and plug in a cable here, because that's also all this history. That's grilled cheese sandwiches that his mama would make. That's his mama paying my brother his very first gig. You know, when we played for his sister, Nico's sister's birthday party, I think. And we had less than 10 minutes to set up. And all those kind of memories show up on the stage and show up in the music. And so if you listen to the Juju Exchange on the records or recordings of us we have online or what have you, we hope that you hear that.
When, you know, we have you in for, you know, a project that's going to be released very soon, our Live from Studio 10, that we are starting up again, getting to see you perform. You have so much passion for music. Mm-hmm. Like, you could just tell when you play, you could see the passion coming off you. How did you find the piano? Because I know, you know, sometimes your parents are like, I want to be entertained. Here's the piano you're going to learn. You know, like,
that's right.
That's what my mom said. She's like, here, I need entertainment. How did you come across the piano?
So this album that you're referring to is called Vocation. And Vocation, on the first track is called Hush. Somebody's Calling My Name, which is this Negro spiritual. And at the end of it, my mama, I have her say, it is so good to hear your voice. And she, in that line, is channeling my grandmommy, who would say that when I'd call her on the phone, and she'd pick up and would say, oh, Julian, it's so good to hear your voice. The reason I'm saying that is because I was learning very, very young that piano was a means of sharing my voice. Frankly, without much push from my parents. They put me in a music class when I was 2, music appreciation, and then group piano when I was 3. That class ended. I kept the book and then asked to be taken down to the Park District. Shout out Chicago Park District. Went down to Kennedy Park District, and we didn't have a piano at the crib, so I would just try to teach myself that book. I did that for 6 months, and they then said, he's serious. Let's get him a teacher. And so I found that piano. There was something I really wanted to learn, and I was going to teach myself even at 3. And I'm thankful my parents saw. But what I like also about your question, Nudia, is that piano, the word, literally means soft. And it's interesting that we call this instrument that can be very loud just piano, because it actually, its full name is pianoforte. We've shortened it to piano. So another way to think is, how did you find the soft? How did you find the piano? How did you find the soft? And I think the more I've gotten into the instrument, the more the gentle spirit that I think we all have, but that gentleness in me, I've been able to find that. And it's able to come out in the passion and the keys. And I'm glad you can see that. And I hope everybody who hears my music can feel that.
I love your answer. I feel like we could talk all day. You have a show coming up.
Yeah.
I was like, hold up. I'm looking at my notes. I'm like, hold up. We need to talk about your show. Yeah. We're here. You have a couple dates. You have Chicago. What could people expect for the show?
Ooh, so what you just heard on the way in is what you can hear more of with my group, Julian Davis Reed and Circle of Trust. This will be my first tour for my record Vocation, which came out in October. And it will be piano, bass, drums, and vocals. And so the track you're going to hear coming out of this interview is called Moan, and that will feature the soprano, Tremaine Parker, who you'll hear at the Chicago date. I also, as you can tell, take words seriously. And so there'll be some spoken word elements that I'll bring into the space and maybe some other disciplines as well. But I really like to be multimodal. And so it'll be a way to get multiple senses of yours engaged in a jazz project. And even if you don't listen to jazz, I hope you can hear my voice and in my spirit an invitation. And hopefully this concert will be inviting you into the experience of the exploratory as you think about these relationships that are so precious to you, just like they are to me.
And that is going to be Wednesday, January 14th, and at the Constellation, doors at 8 p.m., show starts at 8:30.
You got it.
And you did talk about my favorite song I heard you play today,
hey.
Moan. I really, really enjoyed that. I told you I was starting to feel some feels. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm at work. I cannot be breaking down at work. But it's such a beautiful song. Can you tell us more about how this song came together?
Sure. So Moan emerged out of my time from Ferguson. I went to Ferguson years after Michael Brown's murder, but I went to the asphalt where he laid. And as I stood there, I had this image of the sharks that followed slave ships. I asked my friend, Alana Harris Babu, who's an incredible visual artist, to paint that for me. And she painted these ceramic cups and put on these ceramic cups lines from a poem about a black boy seeking life in the new world by Nikki Finney. The poem was called The Battle of and for the Blackface Boy. And on the cups, Alana writes Nikki's words. Once on shore, my name is Lawless. I am barely breathing. I held these cups for a couple of years and just held them in my keepsakes, and at some point decided to take them out and listen to them for a song. And out of that song, the ancestors gave me Moan.
And we're going to go ahead and play it. Let's have you introduce it. This is your... Did you ever think you're going to be like a radio DJ? This is your moment right here. We got it. Okay.
Vocalo, you are listening to Julian Davis Reed and Circle of Trust play Moan off his album, Vocation.
This segment was hosted and produced by Nudia Hernandez. Keep up with Vocalo at vocalo.org, on Instagram at Vocalo, or on TikTok at vocalo.radio.